What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the more pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 31st, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Look at this lovely SP roundup. Can you take me, Meyer? I'm never going to do that again. I'm so sorry. But I am live streaming this on playback.tv/pitcherlist, and I'm also showing this on YouTube right now. All of these SP roundups from Monday morning to Friday morning will be on YouTube, sometimes on the weekends as well. It's just another way for you to consume this and to just enjoy just pitching stuff. If you don't want reading it, all right, fine. You can go on YouTube. You can watch it instead. So let's talk about Max Meyer. He went 5.2 innings of one earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts yesterday. 34% CSW. And we were pretty hyped about Max Meyer. Why? Because he was a guy that we saw with a new arm angle, with more velocity on the four-seamer, a much better slider, and the slider already was his best pitch, and then turned that slider into a sweeper as well, and then a better changeup, a sinker. Like, this looked like a complete pitcher finally, not just a guy with a good slider and nothing else. Well, the thing is, he still is kind of a slider without anything else. Not to say that everything is the same that it was before. It's a step up, like across the board, but it's still very much slider first, everything else second. 10 over 37 whiffs and 92 mile per hour sliders was just so good. He actually allowed that one walk on after throwing a 1-2 pitch that was so very much a strike, slider down in middle that was called for a ball, and then he walked him later in that bat. And the four-seamer actually got hit pretty hard. I don't know how Andrew McCutchen hit that one out, up and in, but he did, like 96. Maybe it was even 98 or something. He just turned on that. I don't know how. Some good sinkers in there. Got lots of outs with it. I loved that. The changeup was okay. Max Meyer is fine at this point. This was not a good Pirates offense. I think we'll get a better test against Atlanta later this week. That's really what I see for Max Meyer, is just a guy that it's not a breakout like Spencer Schwellenbach last year to me, because it's really just a 92 mile per hour slider, which also could come down in velocity. There was more adrenaline here. We normally have seen 90, 91 on that slider throughout the spring. So it almost breaks the Wasker rule, which is the Wasker and Noah rule of you do not go after guys with just an elite slider and nothing else, but it is a kitchen sink around it. And I think that can work. Nick Pivetta also went against Atlanta, and he got the win, 7 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. That's very good, obviously. I don't love it moving forward completely. Like, it's 21 inches of vert, not even 19 to 20. It's even more of it, but it's an extreme arm angle, which then means that it got hit hard still. That was a near 400 expected WOBA on the four-seamer to right-handers, right? Actually, that was overall, and it's always elevated for right-handers because they see the arm angle difference between his sweeper, which is lower, and the four-seamer, which is up here. However, the curve is also up where the four-seamer is. So it's harder for lefties to deal with Pivetta than it is righties, which is kind of interesting. And I was hoping to see something more like a 30% sweeper usage and maybe a cutter in there, maybe sinkers or something else. But it's really just 90% four-seamer sweeper right now for Pivetta against right-handers. And that's just a little weird for me. So it's fine. It's just, yeah, you might be a hipster heading inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster for someone who has never in his career had an ERA under 4. I don't think that that is going to change this season. All right, looking at Mitchell Parker, it was 6.1 innings of 0 runs, 7 hits, 5 walks, and 2 Ks. He gets the gold star because we did not expect this against the Phillies. I just didn't really see too much that was exceptional. It was a lot of fastballs over the plate. I'm happy he's leaning slider to lefties. They weren't his best. It was kind of a good job. I'm happy it worked out. It was 9 base runners for a reason across 6.1 innings. So he got those outs. Koufax was there, blessing him from above. You have Davis Martin, 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Just 3 whiffs, 21% CSW. This was the Angels being bad. This was a very much of a blame it on the Angels. They're like, I want to see 5 or 6 teams off the top of my head that are just like, yeah, these are really streamable teams. You have the Pirates, you have the Marlins, you have the Rockies, Rocky Road, you have the Angels, you have the White Sox, and I guess you also have at Seattle. So we have 6. I might be forgetting one more, but I think that that's really Yeah, it's just those six. So a lot of times you're going to see these really strong starts. We've seen it from the Rockies pitchers in Tampa Bay. Even actually, I would even say that one. Tampa Bay's not looking very good as an offense either. So yeah, Davis Martin, 34% changeups, but just three whiffs total is just like, no. And also he went shutout, but it's the White Sox, so it was zero earned runs. Yeah, no. You have Tanner Bibee, came back from food poisoning, wasn't his best, but I'm willing to give him some slack here after dealing with food poisoning. That is totally fine with me. And the cutter was like really bad, and he didn't really throw well. And the four seamer and slider was not. It was just really bad. The Royals bailed him out here. Matthew Boyd was someone I was targeting, especially for my quality start leagues or my deeper leagues. And it's looking pretty solid at the moment. Five innings, zero runs against the Diamondbacks. Four hits, three walks, and five strikeouts. Now, 7-for-51 whiffs combined on changeups and sliders isn't really the guy you want. He elevated them too much, and you didn't really get them down. I wanted to give a massive shout-out to Sarah Sanchez for hosting this game on playback.tv/pitcherlist. It was a Cubs watch party, that one. And I wanted you guys to remember, every single baseball game is live-streamed there. We have tons of hosts throughout the entire fantasy industry just popping in. Justin Mason just showed up. And it's just them on stage watching the same game that you are with all of our community. It's insane. So next time that you're watching MLB.TV on your own or just planning to watch it, just go to playback.tv/pitcherlist. We will have the game on. And yes, we will focus on what you want to watch. So Sarah Sanchez did a fantastic job. I hope to see her back for future Cubs games as well, and just in general, because she's awesome. And it's been so fun. So really, guys, come to playback.tv/pitcherlist. It's free to use. Just go, especially if it's the MLB free game of the day. You don't even need an MLB.TV subscription. Just take a look at MLB.TV and see which one's the free game of the day. We will be able to show that game for you for free. It's awesome. Okay, Jacob DeGrom against the Red Sox, 16 whiffs for Gallows Pole, rather. He threw his slider 62% of the time to right-handers. I just want you to take that in for a second. We rarely even see guys throw fastballs 60% of the time anymore. Yeah, he's the best pitcher on the planet. It was five innings of zero runs, two hits, two walks, six Ks, 32% CSW. Also, five innings in 73 pitches, right? Like, he could have gone longer. This is his first start of the year. They're being cautious at first, which is fine. And a lot of times people say, oh, yeah, they're going to be really babying him. He's not going to be productive. Five innings with six strikeouts and zero ERA and a 0.8 whip. Like, sure, you didn't get the win because the Red Sox had fits on the other side of it, and that worked out for them. But come on, his fastball's at 97, Jacob DeGrom. Okay? We even saw the changeup show for 3-for-11 whiffs. Like, Jacob DeGrom is dope. It makes us feel dope. He's the best pitcher on the planet. I don't care what you say about Skeens and Crochet and Wheeler and Scooble. Give me DeGrom all day. Chris Bassett against the Orioles got the win. Six innings, one earned run, eight hits, two walks, seven Ks. This is Chris Bassett. And I know it's kind of funny because he had a 146 whip last year. And here we have a 10 base runners in six, which is a 160 whip if I do my quick maths. I think that's right. Something like that. Yeah, not fun though. That would be if it was, whatever. It's okay. Who cares? It's a high whip. The point of the matter is that Chris Bassett is still doing what he normally does. He actually got a fair number of whiffs, eight on the cutter and curve combined. That's cool. He's the same guy, I think, that you really expected to get last year. And it probably will be like a 125 whip, but like a 370 ERA, and you'll get wins and quality starts. Take that as you will. Okay, I expect him to do like the Bailey special a decent amount, which is a 117 whip. Like seven base runners in six. Okay. You have Brian Wu against the Athletics in Seattle. So we expected it to be productive. And well, you know, it was six innings, one earned run, five base runners, five Ks. This is such a standard Wu start because his secondaries went 1-for-15 whiffs. One day. Even more so with that, actually more important than the whiffs, terrible strike rates, like really, really bad. And I know you're seeing this a lot more in the roundup these days of like me giving you the exact percentage of strikes and being really in on that. But understand that strikes are everything. If you can't throw strikes with pitches, two things are going to happen. One, you're going to have more walks, duh. But two, you're going to allow more hard contact. Why? Because guys are going to be in better counts where then they can do their A swing and likely get a fastball or a pitch over the plate, or they take it, right? So high strike rates are generally good things, unless it's like all of them are over 80%. Then you've gone to the end, deep end of like, oh no, this is too hittable. And Jameson Taillon, you might want to nibble a little bit more, right? The George Kirby thing too, with four seamers upstairs and all. So just keep that in mind. I'm getting that data. I'm essentially actually getting Kyle Bland to craft for me the ultimate SP roundup tool. And it's essentially taking the stuff that's on Savant, adding extra flair to it, and just coordinating it and arranging it in the way that is just all the things that I think are very important to start. And guess what? Everyone with PL Pro can access that. So it's awesome. It's great. It's just the most handy thing to have while watching a game. It's like the best companion for pitching analysis. You have Andrew Heaney against the Marlins, Michael Wacha, Jack Ahanowitz, all these other guys, AJ Smith-Shaver, Richard Fitz. I'll tell you about all of these and Robbie Ray after this break. So Andrew Heaney went against the Marlins, and I was saying before, they're one of the weak teams, and yep, he threw lots of strikes, and they let him feast. Five innings on 79 pitches and one run. Only 2 Ks, 1 out of 16 whiffs on the changeup with a low strike rate is not fun. But yeah, right, Andrew Heaney. I don't really want to go for that. It's just a rare streamer. Michael Wacha had 47% usage of four seamers, but a sub 60% strike rate. And that's why you have four innings of 87 pitches. Ugh. At least it's only 8 base runners and 2 Ks and 1 run. Like, I mean, 8 base runners is a 2-whip. Don't get me wrong. The changeup was still a high strike pitch. It's just you need more support, Wacha. It's fine. It is kind of cool that he's near 7 feet of extension and has 19 inches of vert on that four-seamer now. It used to be around 17 to 18. So maybe that's a more effective four-seamer. Maybe it's a little different. That's why he wasn't able to get as many strikes on it. But yeah, no. That's not the Wacha we want. And we expect him to be better and just follow the matchups. Like, just... he's your typical Toby. Don't start him against good teams and you should be fine. You have JP Sears at Seattle. So, of course, he went 7 Ks and 2 runs in 6.2 innings. I do not lean into this one. 11 for 24 called strikes with sweepers against right-handers is pretty ridiculous. I mean, that's not exactly right. There are like 3 of them thrown against lefties because he barely faced any lefties. He has 2 sliders now, too. It's a 77-mile-per-hour slider and an 80-mile-per-hour slider. It's kind of weird. But yeah, he's not this guy. Don't lean into this. Jack Ahanowitz can no longer be called the jack of one trade because he actually split up his fastballs. Now he's throwing four seamers and he's throwing sinkers. So the four seamer is able to go 8 for 26 whiffs, which is absurd because it's not in any way looks like one that should do that. However, it's because he throws so many sinkers that he mixes them up well. And you know, I think Eno was talking to Aaron Judge. Or maybe it was someone else, but I just always assume it's Eno. Who in the ass, like, who is, you know, what is the hardest thing to do as a hitter? And he said it's 2 fastballs at the same velocity over the zone. I don't know which one's which, right? So if you're able to mix this up over the plates effectively, you will get outs. It's why Ben Lively succeeded. I know, right? Crazy. It's how Adrian Hauser has had success. So Kahanowitz having this result isn't too surprising. It was against the White Sox, but I can see how it could work. There's also a new slider he's throwing. It's around 88 miles per hour, which sounds cool. It's more like a cutter, I think. It's not that great of a pitch, but at least it's another strike pitch. It's something else. I'm always a fan of that. So that works for me, Kahanowitz. He's just so interesting. I remember being fascinated by him last year, and the fact that Jack Kahanowitz hasn't been demonstrably bad for multiple starts is something to think about. This was 64 pitches in 6 innings, Jack Ahanowitz. White Sox, but he's going to be your sneaky, like, oh my gosh, it's July and Jack Ahanowitz has been productive in my 15-teamer. You have Taj Bradley against Rocky Road and got a win. 7 Ks, 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 base runners, no walks, by the way. You know what's really cool? Is that I've seen the Rays pitchers go now with Pepio. I've seen Bradley go. I saw Littell, whatever Littell. But the point I'm trying to make or trying to get at is safe. I mean, we haven't seen Shane Baz and we haven't seen, I think that's it. Yeah, it was just 3 starts. For Bradley and Pepio, who are so linked to vert, and we go, oh no, they're out of the trop. It's going to be worse. 18 inches of vert for Bradley, 18 to 19 on for Pepio in George Steinbrenner Park. Like, field, I guess it is. Yeah, it's fine, guys. They're fine. It's more about left field and right field porch at this point. And whatever the batter's eye and how it looks, I remember Willie Adames leaving Tampa Bay and being really happy for that. So I don't know what you want to say about that. I think there's someone else that also had that problem when they left. But Taj Bradley, the real thing here is that you got 12 or 16 strikes in the splitter, and you had a really good cutter to right-handers. And last year, Taj Bradley wasn't very good throwing cutters to right-handers. Oh, I'm sorry, he was much better at throwing cutters down and away to right-handers. This is the one thing that got me kind of excited about him. Oh man, Taj Bradley, you're actually like doing this thing again. So like, it wasn't good in 2023. Now you're doing one of these things that are cool. Maybe the four-seamer and splitter become more consistent, and this is what we can expect. Right now, it's rocky road, so I can't really lean too much, but at least this is promising to start. Ryan Feltner was on the other side, and as I mentioned, the Rays aren't very good either. Five innings, two earned runs, four hits, one walk, five Ks. I will say the changeup was really cool from Ryan Feltner against left-handers. 7 for 23, whiffs right at the bottom, kind of looking like a line to get the next iPhone with the strike zone being the Apple Store. Now, the four-seamer is just really mediocre and bad. It's not the one that we got excited about like 2-3 years ago, but the changeup is cool. However, he's going to be in Coors, and he's going to face much better offenses than the Rays, and that changeup command is likely not going to be replicated, so we move on. There's Andre Pallante against Minnesota, and if you remember all the roundups I wrote about him in the spring, it was Andre Pallante was like way down in velocity. He used to be at like 94 and change, and we were saying like 91, 92. Nothing was changing until this last start, which was like 93. And we also saw less movement on that cut fastball. Like, it's not really a four-seamer. This four-seamer has less vert than his sinker. I just want you guys to understand that. So, it's a cut fastball. Just think of it as a cutter. But it's at 95.2 now. So he's up nearly a tick. It doesn't have as much movement as last year. It's still like a little less drop and cut, but it's not as drastic as it was before. And he just threw only this against left-handers. Right, and then he had a decent slider against right-handers. He had some sinkers in there too against right-handers. So, okay, Pallante, like you woke up, and this is a great example of not all the times. Even if I track it all the way through, it's not always going to be the case when the season arrives. So, good to see that. Honestly, I'm really happy for the Cardinals in this case, and it's why I understand now that they're not moving away from Pallante. They moved away from Steven Matz in that rotation. Matz did show up in the pen, by the way. Got a four-inning save. This was just Pallante and Matz. Cool to see that. You have AJ Smith-Shawver. And by the way, Pallante is good for like 15-teamers. I don't think 12-teamers you really should be going after. This just three strikeouts. AJ Smith-Shawver is a very interesting one because I picked up in Tout Wars just because I said, you know what? Like, I want... It, you know, Tout Wars is a league where it's a weekly fab, and you know, it's really tough because you have to start him if you do pick him up. So I said, fine, it's against the Padres. I don't like the start, but I'm willing to take the chance to see, like, if this is something legit, I'll get in now before the fab period happens and it's really, really expensive if it is really good. I didn't really think it was going to be that good, but there are very few options there. And I said, okay, fine. So here's the thing. AJ Smith-Shawver he's not really someone I want to go for. He gets the Marlins next, and what I'll say is, if AJ Smith-Shawver is out there, pick him up for that. Hopefully it's a better one, because it's the first start of the year, and sometimes command is worse than that one, because the command overall was just really bad. It was a 50% strike rate on 22 fastballs, and 44% strike rate on 18 curveballs. Terrible! Like, you can't do that, okay? The thing is, though, the splitter for AJ Smith-Shawver was disgusting. Like, left-handers just were demolished by this pitch, and overall it was 10 for 27 whiffs. Now, there were some mistakes with it, as you normally see, but there were some filthy ones, and he's very low on his release point. 1.6 is like 90th to 95th percentile for flat attack angle, and just to explain flat attack angle for everybody who's watching very quickly, it's just the angle of which the ball comes over the plate. If it's slightly steep, that means it's going to match a steep attack angle of the bat, because the bat's going to slant up when it's up in the zone, but the bat is going to be very flat of a plane, so that means that the ball is going to intersect it a lot if it's a flat pitch down. So if you have a flat height-adjusted VAA, that means it's It's above 1.0, so higher number, so 1.6. That means that it's good upstairs because you're not going to intersect with a steep bat, but bad up downstairs because it's going to intersect a lot with a flat bat. On the other side, if it's underneath 1, so like 0.5 height-adjusted VAA, I just like to call it attack angle. It's much simpler and quicker. If the, you have a steep attack angle, that means you actually will do better down low because you'll intersect less with the flat bat, but you'll intersect a ton with the high swing. So when I see steep attack angles go upstairs, George Kirby, it means that you're going to get a lot of hard contact there. Even though you get a lot of whiffs, you're going to see guys want to swing at it and they'll actually still do damage against it. Long story short, AJ Smith-Shawver should be throwing his four-seamer upstairs. He also throws 95 and gets 18 to 19 inches of vert, which is great. Anything above 17, I'm like, all right. And he's getting close to 7 feet of extension. I think I saw higher last year briefly than 6.8. But if Smith-Shawver can show me four-seamers that are actually upstairs with a splitter for lefties and then a curve or a slider that is actually commanded to right-handers, this is a very legitimate pitcher. I don't believe we're going to get it. I just think he, like what I saw last year, was not a good command pitcher. This was not a good command pitcher. And it's very possible he just needs a little more time. He's pretty young. Maybe that will work out. He gets the Marlins next, so we're going to go with that. I felt like going long on that one for AJ Smith-Shawver because he's going to be someone I'm sure tons of people will have questions about. So there you go. You have Tomoyuki Sugano finally giving us some more airtime. 73 pitches against the Jays. 4 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Yeah, 1 for 15 splitter whiffs from the right side. And the thing is, if you are trying to be a crafty Toby at like 92 mile per hour fastballs, you have to have two things. One, if you're a righty, you have to have a really good breaking ball. Like, you have to have it, right? If you're a lefty, it generally means, seriously, if you're going to be like 92, you got to be a lefty and throw changeups. That's like the recipe I've seen. Or you're Merrill Kelly with a really good cutter and sinker, and you have a kitchen sink that works. With Sugano, I'm not really seeing the command that would work. I see a splitter, but it's not really the Tanaka kind of splitter, or the Gausman one. This isn't enough. So maybe over time I can really get behind his old command, his old approach. Right now is not that. We have Richard Fitz. Oh man. So 71 pitches to get through 6 innings is great. He has a poor quality start, 3 earned runs, 6 innings. Look, I'll take that. For someone that is at the very last pick of your draft as an upside play, to get that in 6 hits, so that's a 1 whip and 0 walks and 4 Ks. Yes, he got a loss because he went against DeGrom. Fine. But here's the thing. I was really in on Fitz because the data we got from spring was very sporadic, but the data that we got said that his four-seamer would be above 17 inches of vert, that his extension would be at least 7 feet, and that he would be at 97. What we got was not 17 inches of vert, but 14.3, which is actually like drop as opposed to rise. Ugh. We saw 6.5 feet of extension, which is like average, and honestly, it's kind of below average at this point. It's like you want to see 6.8 to make me feel like, oh, okay, cool. If I see 6.5, I'm like, eh, whatever. And then the 97 was 95.5. What? That's not the Fitz that I want. So then I'm like, okay, hold on. The slider though, the slider is supposed to be the big thing that's just so filthy, at like 92 or something. No, but like, I mean, the sweeper and the slider were around. He earned 8 whiffs total. And it was just very not good. It reminded me, honestly, of Cutter Crawford from last year. Of just kind of a guy that wasn't really like that exciting to watch. So I'm not there yet with Fitz. I do want to give him another outing. I also want to mention that Jacob deGrom's vert was way down, also at like 14 and change or something like that, minus over 2 inches. And that's weird. So to see both Fitz and DeGrom -2 makes me wonder if there was some calibration or something like that, because DeGrom's shouldn't be. That at least gives me some hope. very long story here is that he gets the Cardinals. So Richard Fitz gets the Cardinals. You have Richard Fitz now. You're wondering if you should draft for someone else. You shouldn't. Start him against the Cardinals. That's a bad offense. You should be fine there, and then we can take it from there, okay? Don't, like, all the other things are just kind of weird, and we don't know yet, so just stick with Fitz. You have Eduardo Rodriguez, a former Red Sox, going against the Cubs. Nothing exciting here. He just threw a ton of changeups, like 50% changeups against right-handers, which is bonkers to me. And they aren't that amazing. They used to be the pitch, but it was really when he was able to get it actually down and away with a harder fastball. He's at 91 as opposed to like 94, 95 of old. So it was 5.1 innings of 300 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks, 85 pitches. I think Eduardo Rodriguez is a 15-team Toby. He could be helpful in quality start leagues or like CBS points that really emphasize those inning guys. And keep in mind, for CBS points, you can take everything that I say, but if whenever I talk about them as like a 6-inning guy without strikeout affinity, then that is your CBS points guy. CBS points leagues is all about going deep into games and not allowing base runners. Okay? It's the same, you get the same amount of points for a strikeout as you lose points for a walk. It is 0.5. That's wrong. It's minus 1 for a walk and 0.5 for a strikeout. So, not good. You'd rather go innings than you would strikeouts, okay? 6 strikeouts equals 1 inning. Keep that in mind in CBS. It's 3 points for an inning, 0.5 for a strikeout. So you don't really want to chase the strikeout upside guys in those. You really want to chase your 6-inning Tobies as much as possible. That could be Eduardo Rodriguez. Robbie Ray let me down a little. He was so good through 5. I think it was a 1-hitter, nothing on the board. Careful Icarus a bit. But really, he let me down because he had the intent of the Blake Snell blueprint of 4-seamers upstairs and changeups and sliders down. However, it was 45% strikes on the slider and just 20% on the changeup. And 5.1 innings, 300 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks, all of those runs in that 6th inning. He didn't get the whiffs that we want to see because the slider and the changeup were just so inconsistent. What really bothered me, though, was the 4-pitch walk in the 6th where he threw 3 changeups all for balls. He threw a 3-0 changeup out of the zone down. And yes, data. I love seeing 3-0 pitches that are not fastballs. We get more data for our models. Awesome. But no, you didn't need to throw 3 changeups against this guy. You would have been fine. So Robbie Ray is going to have some volatility like this. It's annoying. At the same time, like, he shouldn't have 20% strikes on his changeup and 45% strikes on the slider. We know that. Also, where's the curve? The curve was really effective for him last year. Don't, like, completely ditch that, too. Okay? That should have been the backup option when the changeup wasn't working, but whatever. Marcus Stroman, 4.2 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. You don't want Marcus Stroman. And I was actually guessing that the Friday Pirate, Ryan Yarbrough, would be the guy to get the win. Ah, Tim Hill snagged it instead. So close. Nick Martinez, 6 innings, 400 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. Honestly, I think he's really good. And this was unfortunate for him. I'm surprised he didn't throw more changeups. Just 12% usage and saved just for lefties. And no, throw more changeups. But he commands really well, has a big kitchen sink. I think this is like a Michael Wacha kind of thing. Maybe even slightly better than Wacha because there's more support for his changeup. But then again, Wacha's changeup is better. Do what you want with that. Nick Martinez is a pretty solid Toby. And you have Aaron Nola going 5.1 innings, 5 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. Well, you know, left on base rate, not doing well. What? Oh my gosh. His changeup was so good against lefties, though. So I'm not worried about this. He is a tick down of velocity. That's typical for this early in the season. Don't worry about it. Aaron Civale against the Yankees hurt his hamstring. And he left that one early. So 3 innings of 5 runs. I imagine Logan Henderson will get an opportunity for the Brewers because who else are they going to go with? I don't feel like you need to pick up Logan Henderson. Just wait and see with him. I don't think that it's a very overpowering thing. And last but very not least is Bailey Ober. For the second straight year, he absolutely bamboozled all the teams that drafted him in his first start. This one had a much better explanation, though, and I'm really upset that they didn't tell us. On Friday, apparently Bailey Ober was just absurdly sick the entire day, had to get an IV on Saturday, and was not at his best for the start. Just skip him. Just skip him. I mean, I guess you don't really have someone else, but you had Robbie Dobnak. Just skip him. I don't know. I'm really surprised that they actually started him here. And do not judge Bailey Ober for this one. All right. Even though all the things that I've been saying in the preseason about like Bailey Ober's velocity being lower and fastball command not being as good, we'll see the next start. Okay. But that is it for today. I'm not doing streamers anymore on this. You got to check it on the website. But that is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.